It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, here we go, 4 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyer, 766-1400 in the North, Reno Sparks and beyond. Listening to ESPN Reno, 775-766-1400 is the number. We're going to get into boxing on several fronts coming up in the next hour and 15 minutes. Got Canelo and Crawford in town at Allegiant. Weigh-in this morning, official weigh-in, ceremonial weigh-in as well. Both fighters in at 167.5. We're looking forward to boxing on Saturday at Allegiant Stadium. And remember, no college football in town this week because UNLV agreed to move its game against Idaho State to the very beginning of the season. So they've got a bye week. So UNLV is off. And then the Chargers and Raiders will face off on Monday night in a big game. Willie, to build a little bit on what Sammy was just saying about the Chargers maybe being a little bloated in people's minds. I don't mean the team is fat or their egos are bloated, but are we making way too much, or the bettors making way too much of the Chargers and that win over the Chiefs? I mean, laying 3.5 here?
Well, again, we use that word overreaction. I mean, are we overreacting? I don't know.
Yes.
The travel to out of the country, were the Chiefs not ready? Were the Chargers fired up? Are we underestimating the Raiders? There's a lot to be answered. It's so soon to call either side out and say, well, are the Chargers that good? Are the Raiders not that good? I mean, it's hard to say. Why are we overreacting on the Raiders and what they did in the country and winning in New England? So I tend to think that there's overreaction on the Chargers, and they're basing it off of history and fading the Raiders. The
betting market. I agree. Good. Sorry. Keep going.
No, and the betting market is doing what they normally do, and they're thinking that this is, these are the same two teams from the past.
The Chargers won a good game against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are not unbeatable. As you mentioned, a key factor was travel. Who traveled better? Who was more prepped for the game? We don't know. We're not going to find out for weeks. It was also a game where the Chargers made some real big plays. They also, I thought, showed some dangerous warts where they gaffed a few times. So they've got to improve their communication on defense. I'm not overreacting to anything on the Raiders side because I thought the Raiders were the better team against the Patriots. And they won the game away. Their run game was okay, not great. I did love the fact that they spread the ball around. Christian Gonzalez was out for the Patriots, so maybe that made it a little bit easier. I thoroughly enjoyed the fact that Geno Smith had completions of 20-plus yards on 9 different plays. If you're going to get that many chunk plays, that's a good thing. So I think the Raiders were about – really, what's funny? Again, we always talk about overreacting week one. I thought the Chargers had a chance to beat the Chiefs, and I thought the Raiders would win. So nothing changed for me in terms of my place on this game coming up on Monday night. We got a boxing match coming up on Saturday.
We do have a big boxing match coming up on Saturday. We have Canelo Alvarez against Terrence Crawford, which, in my opinion, based on the venue, based on the expected crowd, based on the past, it could go down as the biggest fight in history in this town. There's probably, one or two people that I would count on and trust to weigh in on this situation, and somebody who I've had the pleasure of having a relationship with for 30 years since my career got started. Back in the day, from the early 90s, the Bo Holyfield trilogy, of course, and that is Rock Newman. Rock, appreciate you joining us today on Cofield & Company.
My brother, it's such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
First of all, how you been? I haven't talked to you in quite some time, so I haven't had a chance to just say, how are you?
Man, I'm living the dream. All is good. All is good. Life is wonderful. I couldn't ask for more. And now I get to spend 10, 15 minutes with you guys. that's the icing on the cake, guys.
Yes, and it's. I mean, I remember the days when it was the Las Vegas Sentinel voice, and Rock always made sure, Steve, that Riddick gave me, you know, you'd have your scrums, but he's like, no, we're giving the Sentinel voice some private time, and I get to go to the private workouts around town. So to pick up where it was like we you know, never left off, right? Let's talk about this. I saw you post the other day. Just your thoughts. I gotta ask you. Let's just jump right into it. I have Crawford winning this one. I don't think that Canelo has faced someone like, or I don't think he expects or knows what to expect since his last biggest sort of challenge in Floyd Mayweather. And I think Terrence hits harder than Floyd. Your thoughts on this fight?
You know, it's such a big fight. And there is so much interest in it. As I was anticipating us talking, I was trying to form and frame my real thoughts about this. What I posted is I saw some things that, you know, I'm big on the psychological game of boxing.
Yes.
And I saw some things where Canelo was acting and behaving like Marvin Hagler did before he fought Sugar Ray Charles Leonard. And I'm looking at Canelo, and I see, I'm looking at Crawford with the kind of more quiet self-assuredness of I got this and this is my time. Now, none of that means a damn thing once that bell rings. But all we can do at this point is speculate, pontificate. And so I said, I thought that what I gave me the reason to have Crawford to have the edge. And then I factored in what makes this fight so ultimately interesting. It's Canelo who has the kind of power that Mike Tyson had in early rounds. Mike Tyson, I've always said, was a great fighter for four or five rounds. He became more ordinary after that. But Canelo has the kind of power and speed with his punches that Tyson had early, which makes him ultimately always dangerous. You could never, ever let up in the ring with Canelo because he has that kind of knockout power. With Crawford, you have someone who knows Lados science. He knows as well as anyone in the last many years how to fight. And so, you know, does he have the ability to be able to match wits with Canelo the way that Sugar Ray Leonard did with Marvin Hagler, who was obviously the bigger guy and the bigger puncher? Mm-hmm. I think there was some debate about that fight, but I think he clearly won. You know, now, something else. To me, it's a big factor the way that Canelo learned from his loss with Floyd Mayweather. I'm telling you, I heard Sugar Ray Leonard say that when he fought Fredo Benitez,
yep,
of all of his amateur training and professional training and professional fights, he learned more in that fight than he had ever before. Mm. And I can guarantee you, the lesson that Floyd Mayweather gave Canelo became a wiser and much better fighter. Man, this is a tough one to call. That's why it's so exciting and so big.
And it's funny you bring up the psychological aspect. We're talking to Rock Newman, the Rock Newman Show, of course, legendary manager, promoter from back in the day, and of course, during the Riddick Bowe championship years. Rock, you bring that up, and I'll never forget when I was getting my career started, and it started at the Sentinel, and you know, the biggest pro events in town was boxing. It was UNLV basketball and boxing. And some of the mentors that took me under their wing, the late, great Royce Feuer from the RJ, Saraceno, Wally Matthews, and then talking to you guys, it was always pay attention to their demeanor during the week, and also if you can catch a glimpse of them entering the venue on fight night. And it's the exact same thing that I've been saying all week, and I even wrote about, is being with Crawford Tuesday. He did one-on-ones with like eight of us, watching that calm, cool, very self-confident, not worried about a thing, just going about his business, where Canelo, it's a big show. And I don't know, I don't want to say that he's underestimating Crawford, he's overlooking him, but I just think that he's relishing and embracing that he's the face of boxing a little too much for this one, and it could catch up to him.
I'll tell you this. I'll say it this way. Crawford appears to be very, very comfortable in his skin, approaching the biggest professional moment of his life. Canelo seems to be a little uncomfortable with it all. Why? I don't necessarily know, but that's that edge, that's that psychological edge that I was looking at. And I'm telling you, if you're comfortable and confident,
yep,
it's easier for you to execute your plan and your strategy. Like Hagler versus Hearns, I mean, Hagler versus Ray Leonard. Ray made Hagler adapt to him as opposed to the other way around. If Crawford is able to make Canelo adapt to him and fight his style, obviously he then has a much better chance. And I just continue to see with Canelo him not being so comfortable as the moment arises. We'll see tomorrow night.
I got one more for you. I got 1 minute. Real quick, you heard me in the intro. Allegiant Stadium, there's never been a stadium this big that's hosted a boxing match. But there's never been bigger moments than those late 80s with the middleweights, the 90s with Bo and Holyfield. Can you just take us back to some of your favorite or one of your favorite and what it meant to walk through that outdoor stadium at Caesars and what fight night meant in your day back here in Vegas?
Oh, my God. September the 16th, 1981, I was only working as a radio broadcaster at the time when Hearns and Leonard fought. I could hardly catch my breath. There was so much excitement. You know, November the 13th, 1992, you know, at the Thomas and Mack Center, and then later at Caesars Palace. Man, the when they talk about the most exciting moment in all of sports is at a big fight, there is no close second place. Yeah. It's nothing like that. It's mano a mano, and nobody knows. And the excitement and the electricity that roars up and down your spine, man, is something that I could only wish everyone could experience once.
Nobody better, and one of the greatest relationships I've ever had in my career, and it still goes strong 30, 40 years later. I appreciate you, Rock, and hope to catch up with you soon.
Love you, man. Take care.
All right, brother. Thank you. Love you, too.
There's Rock Newman. Willie and Rock kind of feeling the same vibe on Canelo being a little bit off his game outside the ring. We'll break that down a little more when we talk to Arash Markazi in the 5 o'clock hour down on Radio Row. Get on down here, Treasure Island. Enjoy the Golden Circle Sports Bar as they've got $5 draft beers. Happy hour, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's crazy. 7 days a week, Treasure Island, Golden Circle.
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant Mark McMillan joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Let's bring in Chef Mark, talk some NFL, a little college football, a lot of cooking here in the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN Reno, ESPN Las Vegas. What's up, Mark? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, what's going on? I'm still recovering from our wing championship, man. That was pretty cool, man. I'm still gloating, man. People are still sending messages how cool that was, and now everybody wants to do a wing eating.
Very upset that I missed it.
At their place. Well, you might have another opportunity, man. I know my guys over at Evil Pod. It's like, hey, we got wings.
Well,
we'll host the contest over there.
I did reach out to you. You understood the reason, but I will be at the next.
Oh man, I don't know how many wings you could eat, Willie, but those guys were chowing down, man.
I'm not worried. You know what? Here's the thing, Mark. I looked at it. I gauged it. And rather than sit there and be like the typical, oh, I could have beat him. I could have beat him. You know what? I just want to go and support you and eat some wings.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, man. And everybody at Lotus, man, everybody showed up. It was really cool. Even Q came by, man. He was a little late, but he still came by and showed some love. So I appreciate that. Clay Baker and the rest of the guys showed up, man. I know Steve-O. Steve's the man on the mission, man. He's the man on the spot. He has some good footage as well. So shout out to you, Steve, and for our Naked City Pizza for supplying the wings as well, man. Everything went well, and all the staff at Ace Hardware. So ran out of sauce, so I just had to put another order of two cases of hot sauce in because we ran out of sauce, which was what we want, man. That's what we want. We want people to taste the sauce, baby.
Nice. Tell me what you thought of the impact in the second game now for Micah Parsons with the Packers. And are the Packers better than your Eagles?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, right now they look good. But I'm not a big fan of Thursday night football, Steve. You only get, what, maybe 24, maybe 30 hours of film that you can really study. And then you're flying from D.C. all the way to Wisconsin. You know, Green Bay sitting at the crib. You know, they don't have to go anywhere. It is tough, man, to win a game in the NFL, whether you're playing, you know, you get 5 or 6 days rest, but like 3 days rest, it's almost impossible, man. And you kind of see the play of Jaden Daniels last night, which was terrible. And, you know, to watch the Redskins, you know, I mean the Commanders, you know, just didn't show up. But the Packers look great. You know, they got some key guys that's hurt. Christian Watson just got another bag, and he's hurt. And he got paid $13.5 million. So the Packers are pushing the right buttons, but I wouldn't say they're better than the Eagles right now.
Mark, let me ask you a question, because the word of the week has been overreaction. From a former NFL player to now analyst who's well involved with UNLV football, the Raiders. At what point of the season? Is it the first quarter? Is it the second month? At what point do you drop that word and say, okay, we can stop overreacting?
I would say probably week six, you know, because guys, you know, I think it might be quicker than that because guys are playing division games early. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you lose a division game early, you know, it's kind of tough to be able to catch back up, not unless you're just a dominant in that division. And nobody's really clear-cut dominant in that division. You look at what Buffalo was able to do to Baltimore, but, you know, that's just the same old ugly Baltimore Ravens that we see in the playoffs. You know, they just can't finish, and Buffalo has their number. You know, but, you know, we'll see what Kansas City does. You got to go to a hostile environment, Arrowhead Stadium. But, you know, Jalen Hurts is going to bring the boys in there, and they're going to go run the ball down their throat. You know, you get Carter back, you know, hopefully they just hold him in the locker room until the coin toss is over so he won't spit on anybody. But I think, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of people say after week one, week two, oh, my gosh, our team is terrible. But, you know, it takes time, you know, and the shortage of preseason games and half these guys are not even playing in preseason games. It takes a while to get in your groove.
Okay, so with that, talking to Chef Mark McMillan, former NFL DB. With that being said, you know, give it 4 or 5 weeks, but if you lose division games early, you don't want to do that. Okay, the Detroit Lions lost their opening game to a division opponent. Chicago Bears lost, gave up a lead to a division opponent. Now they face one another. Lions facing their old OC. What happens in this game?
It's going to be a good game, but like I said, the Lions are struggling a little bit. Obviously, the Bears are still trying to find their way. You know, you got a new offensive coordinator again. You know, I know a lot of people are ready to bury Caleb already after week one. It's going to take time for that team to get on the right path. The Detroit Lions, you know, I thought they were going to show better going into Green Bay. I thought they were going to, you know, probably squeak out a win by a field goal or something, but they just got dominated.
They did.
And it's a Lions team that everybody was saying they're going to be the top of the town. They're going to be the first. the Eagles got to go through Detroit, and then all of a sudden you see what the Packers just did. Man, they made them boys look like Swiss cheese.
Chef Mark is with us. So Mark doesn't just do his football spot today. Oftentimes he's juggling things. You sent over a burger. Is it a burger or a slider? Because it looks gigantic. Jalapeno slider and a sweet heat slider. What the hell's going on and who are you working with today?
Yeah, man. Jennifer Romas, man, you probably saw her. She chimed in. So we did a little cooking segment at her place. And, you know, she's getting pretty good on the grill, man. And, you know, threw down with a jalapeno slider on a Hawaiian roll. And then I did another sweet heat barbecue slider as well on the Hawaiian roll. Man, those Hawaiian rolls are game changers.
Yeah,
and that's all you need, man. The Hawaiian rolls is a game. I know they probably don't pay you for, you know, saying that, so I ain't gonna say it no more. But man, the sliders came out. Steve, you could do this. Steve, I know we talked about.
Hey, hold on.
Fire up your grill.
That's not.
You can make a slider, man. You can make a.
Okay, but it's not guaranteed that the Hawaiian roll will give him a free pop. we brought up the rolls a couple weeks ago because a certain star was cooking for Klay Thompson. And we were like, I don't know if that bread's going to save it. So I still think you're an expert, even with the good bread.
Yeah, the bread was good. I put it on the grill. You know, you toast it a little bit just to get a little char on there so your condiments won't get all soggy. So it came out really good, man. I was like, man, I got to send Steve a picture of what we were grilling up this weekend. So
yummy.
It came out really good. Yeah, it came out great, man. So, you know, you can get them spices and add a barbecue sauce to Ace Hardware. You know, you can eat like me, too.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Now, let me ask you this. Because with the rolls, because they come the way that they come in the package, right? If you got the Blackstone, instead of making small individual, you make one big rectangular burger, and then you flop it right on top of the rolls is one, the burgers one, you flop it all together, and then you just cut them in individuals. Or did you sit there and grill individual sliders?
I'm individual sliders, okay. Man. I got 80-20 ground chuck, you know, pressed the patties down real nice with some parchment paper, man, made the patties real thin. And, you know, you were able to make a double jalapeno slider. I didn't send that one. I didn't want to scare the people. Like, man, that's a double jalapeno slider.
It looked like a smash slider. It looked like a smash slider.
It's a smash slider. Yep, it's a smash slider. So it does look gigantic. But like I said, I use that 80-20 nice little fat to meat ratio. And like I said, that's a good idea too on the Blackstone, putting it all. I've seen a couple people doing that. So maybe when I get my new grill, that should have been here months ago, but I'm still waiting. I ain't forgot about you, Willie, on the grill. But,
oh, I know. We're going to hook up. We're going to hook up. I'm getting that pellet smoker. I don't really start doing heavy, heavy, heavy outside stuff until the winter anyway. I love being outside in the cold. I'll grill in the rain. I just don't like being outside in the heat as much as I love grilling. So we're good. We're going to hook up in the next month.
Muscles, man. Yeah. You got muscles on top of muscles, man. You don't get cold.
We already know that.
Mark, give me your read. UNLV's got a bye week this week, but the win over UCLA, what did that mean?
It's big for the program. Whenever you can beat a Big Ten opponent, you know, I know people like, oh, UCLA's have a down year. That's not UNLV's fault that they have a down year. That's a game that they needed to win. Boost their little confidence a little bit more. You know, everybody was talking about Nico coming in and, you know, maybe, you know, being to exploit UNLV, but UNLV punched them in the face early and often. You know, they kind of gave up some late touchdowns later in the game. But you win a game like that, Steve, that just boosts your program up even more. And the fans need to continue to go out and show this team some support because they're a fun team to watch. You know, they really get after it. And, you know, the strong point that we thought earlier in the season that was kind of frustrating watching the secondary the first week, they're a strong point of that defense right now. And they're coming up with interceptions at key times over the last couple of weeks. So, man, shout out to the secondary. Shout out to Coach Mullins, man, you know, to keeping this thing going because there was a little pressure coming in. You know, Barry Odin laid down a nice foundation. And then Coach Mullins, man, all he did was just, you know, say, hey, Gators, how you like me now?
All right. Mark, 30 seconds left. Give me your read on Chargers are a pretty big favorite against the Raiders. I like the Raiders in the game. I don't know if they're going to win, but I think they got a damn good shot on Monday night.
Yeah, they got a really good shot. The atmosphere is going to be electric. I remember we interviewed Alex Molden, son Elijah Molden, years ago, Steve. he's excited. He missed last year because he messed up his knee. So he's excited for the matchup. I know Bowers hasn't practiced the last couple of weeks for the Raiders, but I guarantee you he's going to play Monday night. I like the way Geno Smith threw the ball downfield. He wasn't scared to, you know, throw it in tight places. I thought Ashawn Gentry ran hard and got a couple of key first downs. I like the way the secondary is playing. They're challenging these guys at the line of scrimmage, playing bump and run. Isaiah Palomalo is back there just playing free safety and just picking off passes, man. So I like their chances. But, man, the old khaki pants, he got these guys playing really, really tough. Herbert has been slicing and dicing defenses. It's a division game. You're here in Vegas. You couldn't ask for a better atmosphere. Monday Night Football, everybody's watching, from your wife to your kids. Even your jump-offs is watching, cheering you on, baby.
Wow. Chef Mark, we appreciate it, dude. We'll see you during the week, okay?
All right, continue the success, man. Willie, I got you on the grill. Steve-O, make them sliders, baby. I need to see some pictures, man.
Oh, my That's God. Good. I'm salivating as you were talking. I can't believe this is a freaking slider. It looks like a giant burger. It's beautiful.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Chuck Esposito up in less than 10 minutes as we'll go behind the counter. We've already had at least one expert on, gambling expert. We got another one coming up. Sammy P started things off with a lot of picks less than an hour ago. Chuck is on the way.
Give a little shout out to Griff for that comeback music. Got a little footlocking vibe, a little pop-locking vibe from back in the – that's that old school.
Willie, what's the latest with the Aces as the win streak continues?
The Aces are going to host the Seattle Storm in the opening round, Sunday. So they end up with the Storm. Now, of the three teams that they could have ended up with, I actually think that might be the – toughest matchup, that being either the Storm, the Fever, or the Valkyries. Because Seattle, for as tough a time that they had, remember, we've been talking about how Vegas started the season 14-14, then they go on this 16-game run. Seattle was one of the top three teams in the league to start the season, and then they struggled down the stretch. But they're in the playoffs. And they still have a veteran lineup. They have one of the top rookies. So once the playoff starts as a whole, the slate's clean. It's kind of like the Stanley Cup playoffs. You got to be careful of that 8 seed. You got to be careful of the 6, 7, 8. And I think that Seattle – I'm not saying Seattle's going to beat Vegas. I think Vegas is going to win. But Seattle could pose a threat and force a third game. The good thing for Vegas is of those three teams, the two – that, you know, that they probably wanted the most was going to be Golden State or Seattle. So that way the travel for game two is either to Seattle or San Francisco. So they will play Sunday night at 7 and Tuesday night at 6:30 in Seattle. Game three would be Thursday with a to-be-determined time against the Storm. Now, the good thing about their draw, Steve, is the other side of the bracket has both the Lynx and the Liberty. The Lynx got the Valkyries. The Liberty have the Mercury. And I think those two teams are the teams that are in big trouble. Why? Because of the distance. New York's got to fly out Sunday or Saturday tomorrow to play in Phoenix at 2 p.m., and then they play in New York on Wednesday at 5 p.m. and possibly game three in Phoenix on Friday. So three games in six nights. And those two teams are going to beat each other up. If Minnesota can oust the young Valkyries, all respect to Natalie Nicosi and what she's done, Minnesota's just going to be sitting there waiting, you know what I mean, for those two teams to beat each other up. The other series is Indiana and Atlanta. As much as the Fever have done without Caitlin Clark, Kelsey Mitchell got a nod for first team all AP today. I do think that they are in trouble with what Carl Smesko's done with that offense. They open up Sunday at noon in Atlanta, and then they play Tuesday at 4:30 in Indianapolis. I do think that the Dream could probably wrap that up pending how they play in Game 1. The winner of that series plays the winner of Seattle and Vegas. Sidebar, the AP Awards came out today. Panel of 14 voters. Asia Wilson named AP Player of the Year. Paige Beckers, Rookie of the Year. Natalie Nicasi, Coach of the Year. Those three the most notable, obviously. And then all the same awards that the WNBA will announce periodically throughout the playoffs. But Asia named AP Player of the Year.
College football just kicked off. Colorado in Houston. That one scoreless a minute in. Indiana's up 31-0 on Indiana State. A reminder, we're back tomorrow with a full college football preview with Throw the Flag right here on ESPN Las Vegas at the Golden Circle Bar. Breakfast in the morning, they got it. Chorizo con papas breakfast bowl, breakfast sandwich, chicken chilaquiles, breakfast meat lovers quesadilla. It's all going down here, 9 a. to 11 a. We'll get you all set for the early games and preview the games later in the afternoon on Saturday, live here at the Golden Circle at Treasure Island.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Football Friday, and Chuck Esposito is in from STN. Chuck, what's going on, buddy?
All good, Steve. It's a busy sports weekend. Not only do we have a lot of football going on, baseball season winding down, but a huge fight in town this weekend as well. So from our side of the counter, all good stuff, and we're looking forward to a fun, busy weekend.
Let's start with the fight, because I have a bunch of football for you. What are you guys dealing right now in the fight between Canelo and Crawford?
It continues to drop. I mean, right now you're looking at Canelo, an 8-5 favorite in this fight. Initially opened up quite some time ago at minus $1.50, got as high as 75, but has been coming down somewhat. Ticket count clearly favors Crawford. I think you look at this fight, and Canelo's last six fights, he's won by decision. The two times he really got into the ring with somebody who was pretty slick, and that was with Floyd and Bivol. Both those times he lost. Crawford is undefeated, but he's going up in weight here, so we'll see how this one turns out. But right now, it looks like we're going to be Canelo fans when they get into the ring tomorrow night.
Chuck, let's talk about tonight's college football game in the Big 12. Kansas State's laying the point. They're going to Arizona. I am 100% not sold. I'm an Avery Johnson guy. I was. But I feel as if that program has some issues, some major problems. I think they're running into a buzzsaw here, and Arizona's licking its chops.
Well, the game opened pick initially, Willie, and we went to Arizona 1. Since that time, it's been a total flip where it went back to pick and then 1 Kansas State and 1.5 where it sits right now. So we're Arizona fans. It's pretty been one side in favor of K-State at this point. But still a little while till kickoff, but that's the way it looks as of right now.
Saturday tilts. Let's start with one of the big ones in the SEC, Georgia and Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do any better than these two teams. I think some of the things that you really look at is in this game, Tennessee's lost 8 straight in this series, guys. Georgia's just 1-5 going back to last year against the spread in their last 6 games. Georgia is 6-1 straight up in their last 7 games, being a small favorite here. Georgia 6-0 against the number in their last 6 games against Tennessee. And when these two teams get together, 9 of the last 13 times the game has gone over. So just some kind of interesting betting trends to look at when these two teams get together. But a very low point spread right now at 3.5, and we'll see what ultimately happens. But again, Tennessee's lost 8 in a row. Excuse me, this game's up to 4 now. Tennessee's lost 8 in a row in this series.
I thought South Florida, after the win over Florida last week, would be a hot public play, but really in this game against Miami, at Miami, the number hasn't moved?
It hasn't moved right now. It's over 3 scores, being the 2 touchdowns and a field goal. South Florida 5-1 against the number in their last 6 games. They've gone over 6 times in their last 9 games. They're 5-1 straight up in their last 6 games. But they're 1-5, Steve, against the number in their last 6 games against Miami. Maybe an interesting tidbit here with this total sitting where it's at right now. Under 5 of the last 7 times these two teams have played.
Back to the SEC. LSU, this came down a little bit. LSU's now dealing 7. Is that what you guys have, 7 against Florida?
Yep, that's where we're at right now. Some other tidbits to look at here, too. Florida, 5-1 against the number of their last six games. They've gone under six of their last six games. LSU, 5-0 straight up in their last five. When these two teams get together, though, six of the last seven have gone under. Interesting stat here with LSU at home. 17-1 straight up in their last 18 games at home.
Chuck Esposito, STN, is with us. And I don't know why you didn't give me a heads up on this. I'm driving by one of the billboards for a Station Casino, and I see $3 beers, $3 shots. What the hell's going on, Chuck? I need the inside dope on this. You guys rolled this out. This is great.
Yep, we want you to enjoy it when you come out to all of our race and sports books. You're right. It's $3 beers, $3 shots, $1.99 margaritas. Just a fun time. We're showing the big fight in most of our sports books over the weekend as well. So it's a lot of fun stuff going on. But these drink specials are tremendous. Just wanted to give something back to our guests. Let them have some fun during football season, hanging out in all of our race and sports books industry-wide.
So if I come by with one of my many winning tickets at stations and you're there, and I'm like, you know what, Chuck, we're going to get a shot. Jameson, Crown Royal, Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, Hennessy, or Patron. What are you choosing?
I'm choosing the shot of Crown, although I wouldn't be doing it while I'm working. But, I would toast you just in spirit, but it would be a shot of Crown.
I'd wait until you got off shift. How about that? We'll make it work.
All right. In that case, I'd love it. Sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. $3 beers, $3 shots, and then $4 on the imports and the seltzers. Okay, NFL, we got a lot to get to. Chuck Esposito from STN is with us as we go behind the counter. Give me your read on the Niners going all the way down to 3 against the Saints, and it looks like Purdy is going to be out for a while, so I guess we'll see what happens in this one, but clearly numbers, or at least the bettors, have adjusted the number.
Yeah, I'm not, sold at all on the Saints. I mean, I think this is going to be a bet-against team all year, but you look at the Niners, no Kittle, no Purdy. Jennings is still banged up a bit. It's going to be a lot, I'm guessing, of Christian McCaffrey in this game. I don't care how low the number gets, we're still going to be Saint fans when this game kicks off, guys.
Browns and Ravens. I'm really a dog player, ultimately. I don't know if I want to go into the dog pound. I guess they're on the road, though, against the Ravens. Apparently the Ravens are honoring Art Modell. I don't know what kind of emotions are going to be on each side in that one. How good are the Ravens? Can the Browns and that defense stay in it?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a bad spot for the Browns, especially with the Ravens coming off that loss. They had, a 99 or 98.9% chance to win that game on Sunday night, which they found a way to lose. The game actually opened up at 13. There has been some sharp money that came in on the Browns. I still think as we get closer and closer to kickoff on Sunday, you're going to see Raven money show. I know it's a big number. Just don't know if the Browns can hang or not, especially against an angry Raven team. But as I said, sharp money has come in on the Browns so far in this one, guys.
What are you guys getting on the Broncos and the Colts? Because this one sat at Broncos -2, but I think it's moved now.
It has moved down somewhat. There is late word that the Colts might be without both starting corners in this game. So you've seen maybe a little bit of action start to come back a little bit on Denver. I didn't think Bo Nix played great week one. Seemed to really struggle in that offense after all the offseason hype. I thought Danny Dimes was great. I mean, he's got some great receivers on that team. You've got a good offensive line. Jonathan Taylor behind you. I thought it was one of the better games I've seen Daniel Jones play over the last couple of years. Kind of hard to say who we're going to need in this one right now, guys. Ticket count does favor the Broncos slightly, but early action has clearly been on the Colts at home. But keep an eye on those DBs for the Colts, see if they play or not by kickoff on Sunday.
I can't wait to see what the betting split's going to look like for the Eagles and the Chiefs. Where do you have the number right now, and what side do you favor in this one? Obviously, we've got a rematch of the Super Bowl.
Both teams seem to have a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover week one, Steve. I mean, the Eagles did win, but it's a game where you could have easily seen the Cowboys winning, if not for the late fumble and just some drops by CeeDee Lamb. The Chiefs haven't been great. I mean, they're going to be without Rice. They're going to be without Worthy in this game. Oh, there's a small chance Worthy can play. It's a Chiefs team that doesn't win with offense anymore. It sounds strange with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but they win with defense. They're a dog in this game. I think it's going to stay this way. I don't see a scenario that flips the favorite. Philly's 10-4 in their last 14 against the number. Total has gone over in four of the Chiefs' last five times when they played Philly, but they're getting one point here, and Kansas City is now 13-0 straight up in their last 13 games at home at Arrowhead. So, hey, if you like the Chiefs, you have to like the fact that they're getting a point here and maybe more by kickoff on late Sunday afternoon.
ESPN Las Vegas at the Golden Circle Sports Bar inside Treasure Island. It is an STN book here, and we've got Chuck Esposito on the phone with us. Chuck, I see the big banner. You had a couple of folks out here signing people up for the STN app. I want you to talk about to the Vegas audience about the $50 no-worry wager.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, the app really brings the sportsbook to you. We love it when all the guests, either it's to one of our off-strip properties or to TI, wants to come out and hang out and enjoy everything we have to offer. But the $50, it's up to a $50 no-worry wager. So you make a bet for $50. If you win that game, awesome. Way to go. But if you lose that game, we're going to put $50 right back in your account so you have $50 more to play with. It's a great little bonus right now, especially with football season, baseball kind of postseason getting close to happening. And we're actually not that far away from tip-off or puck drop. So it's always a lot of fun stuff, especially as we get more into the holiday season and you have a honey to do list going on. That sportsbook, that STN sportsbook, is in the palm of your hand.
Give me your impression of Aaron Rodgers, also the Steelers' defense, and what that means in this -3 situation at home against the Seahawks.
Well, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to say, don't panic. It's okay. Don't panic. It's just 1 week. But I was a little surprised with the Steeler defense. I mean, I think they knew exactly what they were going to face in Justin Fields. So I was a little bit surprised. You get kind of that payback game a little bit here, too, as DK Metcalf gets to play against the team that traded him, the Seattle Seahawks. But I think the Steelers will be better at home. Maybe a little bit of a tough road trip for Seattle to fly across country. But a little surprised at how poorly the Pittsburgh defense played against Fields, especially knowing what he brings to the table and having them there all last year. And I'm sure a lot of these guys practiced against him all season and saw what a good runner and a good scrambler he was. But I did think he threw a little bit better than I've seen in the past. So it wasn't his fault they had that fumble on the kickoff return. It's probably a game the Jets should have won, but they did find a way to lose last week.
Bears and Lions, it doesn't look like bettors have lost their confidence in the Lions, even though the first game against the Packers, they didn't look great offensively. Do you guys have 6 or 6.5 in this one?
It's actually got pushed up to 6.5, Steve, and that was some sharp money that pushed us up here. I'm a little surprised, too, and I think you look at the Bears, and they're still working a lot of things out. They've got some injuries, especially on the defensive line right now. It looks like Johnson, their all-pro corner, will be back. I thought they let one get away from them. It was a bad call on that penalty when they would have had a first and goal up 17-6 that they may have had a chance to go up 24-6. But I'm a little concerned with this Lions team. I think you lose both coordinators. You look at Jared Goff now, and he is now 0-19-1 without either Sean McVay as his head coach or Ben Johnson as his OC. So that offense didn't seem to play great against the Packers. But after seeing the Packers last night, that defense is awfully good. Maybe it was a product of more of the Packers defense than the Lions offense. But intriguing matchup with Ben Johnson going against the Lions. I expect a little bit of a bounce back from the Lions here, though, yet they still are a 6.5-point favorite.
I got about 30 seconds left. I'm seeing, at least on my cash and ticket split board, I'm seeing heavy, heavy action on the Cowboys, and yet the numbers move down to 5.5. So what's happening with the Giants in Dallas?
Yeah, we have seen some action on the Cowboys. I think, you know, that was a game they easily could have won. They have a little bit more time to prepare here. That Giant offensive line, though, if they're missing some of those big pieces like Andrew Thomas, I think it's going to be awfully tough. They didn't run good with Tracy and Scadaboo in week one. I don't think Russell Wilson played great. I know the Giants and I know the Giant fan base and media is clamoring for Jackson Dart to get in there. I think it's kind of a big game for both teams. I think if Russell Wilson continues to struggle for a few weeks, you may see a quarterback change there. But I still think we're going to need the Giants by the time they kick on Sunday morning, guys.
Chuck, great spot, man. Great spot, and good luck to you. Good luck to us, too, though. It's that ongoing battle. I'm always very conflicted. I'm very conflicted. Thanks, Chuck.
All right. Sounds good. Look forward to that drink one of these nights, buddy.
There he is, Chuck Esposito. I mean, you can get multiple drinks. If you guys are dealing $3 drinks throughout the football season, yeah, Station Casino has just announced at the beginning of the football season, and this is all the time. You go into a Station Casino, you can get $3 beers on the Bud Light, the Mick Ultra, Mick Ultra Zero, $3 shots on like 6 different shots, and then imports. And I'm on the seltzers a little more lately, trying to trim down. I don't know if that helps me trim down, but $4 on the imports and the seltzers. So get on out to Estates Casino or come on down here to the Golden Circle Sports Bar on a Friday or a Saturday. We're back here tomorrow. Remember, 9 a.m. start each week on Saturdays for Throw the Flag on ESPN Las Vegas.